there was a...
You need to set up access.
I did.
Yeah.
We used to have access with, you know, with our previous proposal. I did. So, I don't know what... Yeah, I can't. It's not really work anymore. It took me a while.
It could also be because of permissions.
Yeah. Anyway, so it took me a while. In the end, it was like the access file, which, I mean, it has to have the repository's name at first, and then colon something.
Yeah.
I ignore that.
Mm.
But I ignored that before. It was working.
Mm.
So I don't know what, to, you know, maybe an update of the system somewhere that's not going to be legitimate anymore. So,
yeah.
In any case. So, we set up that. And so, I guess just to follow up from our last conversation, we need to have kind of structural change in terms of writing and coming up with a more forceful sort of architecture, system architecture.
Design. Yeah.
And lay out the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need to work on the application sort of case scenarios to basically sort of demonstrate what the capabilities are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that in terms of preliminary work, we got a lot. I mean, I can put anything from this app that can be used as preliminary work in that regard. And even with the time dilation thing, Miguel and I worked on that paper for the TCP performance evaluation. We used all this time dilation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned out to be pretty good. We actually published one paper in one journal on that. And so, but that's preliminary, just using the, it's just to show that, you know, with this capability, we'll be able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can just use this as, you know, partially preliminary work to justify this is a good idea. Otherwise, is to show that, you know, the capabilities.
Okay.
Yeah. So in terms of time, I guess by next Wednesday we have to give it some draft to get it started.
Yeah.
So that means we need to figure out the budget things. I really don't worry about the write-up at all, but I'm planning to work on over this weekend, other than try to work out the final exams. I have two final exams that have to come up. But other than that, I can just work on stuff. In terms of restructuring, I think that we haven't actually done any other. The repository, have
we? I haven't made any changes at all.
Okay.
No.
So, which is fine. All we need to do is to bring it apart and put it together, I guess.
So, I guess the first question is the structure, the proposal that we have right now, is that okay, or do you want to make some changes?
So, I think the structure-wise, I didn't print out, but it was right here. I think in terms of, they can see it. They don't have a copy. I think in terms of introduction and justification for everything, I think it's good enough. The background, the preliminary work, it's everything there. I think in terms of, you know, someone will take that, this is lacking background.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly we have enough background. I can actually even add more things to this.
Yeah, well, that's my personal opinion. I think we start the actual meat from page 6. Right? You started
right.
The actual meat from page 6.
It's
kind of late.
Yeah.
Kind of late.
True.
So this proposal is kind of lacking some technical details.
Right.
And the whole research plan part, I think it already has five pages also.
Right.
So if you want to expand that part, then you can
shrink. Yeah, we have to condense. Yeah.
Right.
I think a condensing is much easier to do than expanding. So.
Well, what we have in section 2 is both of related work and preliminary work. And that's why I think it got expanded. we could
set
one,
the background
mm-hmm.
very easily in a page, in less than a page. So probably isn't going to be a page,
mm.
right? So set that the preliminary work is we can actually sort of I think it's every time I write proposal I have this thing, I want to set the have the context right, but turn out to be too long a context for anybody the attention to be skewed at the end. So the better way is probably going to be to condense it so that move some of the stuff, for example, the preliminary work into the particular techniques that are proposing and say, okay, we're proposing this. And at the same time saying, oh, by the way, we have done this. And so this is like a continuation. We're not just
I think that's a good idea. I've seen people doing that.
Hmm. Except that it's hard to figure out where to move what thing.
Well, I sort of have a basic idea how these things would be. I think the most important thing is actually how to restructure section 3 and basically the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we could do is actually expanding 3.1 or whether 3.1 or whatever, it doesn't matter. Really to talk about the architecture. So we're just putting in place and saying this is what we do a technique should be. And rather than spending a lot of time talking about logistical issues like the research summary, maybe we should. This is the only place that we probably want to tie this with the three claims that we are trying to achieve. But rather than, we can make a, really striking bullet points and why, we think this is accurate or compared to what this is accurate, in what relevant terms, so what do we mean accuracy,
mm-hmm.
In maybe with time so that we can represent the capacity which was not, that cannot be accomplished without it.
One thing which we could do, for instance, is to move the preliminary work into 3.3, right, after we give the project research summary.
True.
So at least at that point, people can look at what it is that we're proposing, maybe one page earlier than we do right now.
Right, yeah.
And then 4 is the section that basically talks about all the work, the detailed research work that we are planning to do.
Okay, so I think that's a good idea.
Will this still be our research claims in this to be one?
These three?
Yeah.
The three research claims?
Yes.
Accuracy, performance, and controllability. We spent a lot of time coming up with these three bullets.
Yeah.
unless you
have
different opinion. Just remember my comment last time. Yeah, we need to justify how, as you said, what do we mean by accuracy? We are not saying that we are accurate all the existing methods.
We have to be more specific
right.
on what exactly, what do we mean by accuracy.
Right.
It's obviously not as accurate as hardware doing this.
Right.
Yeah, rare.
So we have to strike by balance. So it's the balance that is our contribution, the balance between accuracy and performance.
And also controllability. I think they all three dimensions you have to strike a balance.
Or the third one is okay.
I think it's looking at the balance. These are the things that obviously some other platforms have a different sort. If you think about the three dimensional view,
mm-hmm.
is the three axes of three criteria.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to push it to the
mm-hmm.
As high level as high as all these different
okay.
factors.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there are other projects that actually may be taking care of, different aspects.
Right.
For example, controllability is never going to be as competitive as simulation. Simulation is
right.
like it is
right.
completely control of
right.
everything.
Of course,
mm-hmm.
course.
Right?
Right.
And performance, maybe simulation is also actually
right.
you know, outstanding. And accuracy, emulation is actually going to be good. But on the other hand, I think if we can put this into the right light and saying that what we are looking at is at a space that never been explored
mm-hmm.
and that can actually give a good balance on, and the capabilities actually associated with that.
So maybe this statement should also go into the architecture section before we start to talk about the three research claims. We want to make clear.
And even
what
in
what
the,
here.
Yeah, even in the three research claims, we need to say that, okay.
Yeah, even while we are discussing them, yeah, we have
yeah.
to repeat that. But,
mm-hmm.
So we probably can revise the statement at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the introduction, yeah.
Yeah, the introduction. And we'll talk about that a bit more.
So let's sort of do a distribution of tasks
right.
so that
right.
you know we all work on different things and
right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
right. Okay.
So I was planning to revise the section 4 and talk about challenges and solutions rather than bulletized list
right,
of task items.
Right, yeah.
Right, so I guess the question is, do you want to keep the structure still the same, have accuracy, performance, and controllability, or do you see something else that...
I would suggest, however, you know, depending on how much work there will be, I would suggest, you know, we stop talking about the performance, accuracy, controllability
okay.
after this. And we just talk about it associated with the proposed system architecture. What are the challenging things to implement that?
So that's in Figure 3, right? So Figure 3 has all the
right. Yeah. So
the key areas of work is target network
infrastructure. Yeah, because some of these things, I think they're you know, when we actually you know talk about this. Trying to put this thing together, I think there was a tremendous difficulty in trying to balance all these different tasks that's surrounding those three criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is, for example, virtual time management, that obviously has the appeal. This is what we are trying to get at, right? And that's only one of the, you know, seven, or 106, 107. And there are things like the faulty injection, which is, you know, if we don't talk about controllability, this is just like one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this thing can actually come with, you know, the capabilities associated with having a combination of emulation and simulation is because you have a certain level of controllability, you can inject faults into the system. But that's, you know, we made that sort of elevate that as part of the thing. Otherwise, the controllability section is very difficult to write. And the associated with sort of the configuring, monitoring, control, those are really not the I guess not addressing the issue head on, but rather than trying to be more comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would suggest is after this, you know, whether we're going to keep this or not, dependent on how we, you know, finally put together this thing. And in the end, we just talk about, you know, what are the things? Virtual time management. So challenge, you know, or how to say that, task number one. And what are the challenges? And how will you actually proceed to solve this problem? And what are the system components? Because we are just, you know, paste the big picture at section 3 in the beginning and saying this is the overall system, and then we have to justify it. Section 3 doesn't have enough space to justify it. And section 4 is justify it and talk about all the sort of the detailed components. If there is going to be a resource management component, where to put that in, how to put that in, why actually put that in, be able to facilitate that. So I guess in that case, this is more of a, you look at the problem, and we don't lose the reviewers. We just sort of, you know.
What I like about this, though, is in this figure, I mean, this is my style of writing proposals, because so within each dimension, we have, you know, certain things that we need to address. And then you have, you know, you organize your proposal. So you say within this, to address this aspect, we have, you know, we have to address A, B, and C, and this is how we address A, B, and C. So in terms, from an organizational standpoint, it is easy for me to write such a proposal. And from a readability standpoint, you can also argue that, okay, it's easy to read such proposals.
There is a thread, yes.
Yeah, there is some thread. But if I don't, if I sort of say, okay, I'm going to paint a picture which is organized first, but then when I talk about the detailed items, I'm going to not follow that structure. I see the merit to that because of the unequal division of the weight of each of those tasks. So, and that's why, you know, it does, maybe doesn't make sense to allocate one subsection for, you know, some of these. But it's, I think it, in some sense, it's also harder to write them. I mean, you lose the structure in that section, and then you have a list of challenges.
So maybe,
and maybe if you want to do it that way, that's fine, but then we shouldn't have the structure in the previous section.
No, let me do it this way. Let me make a different suggestion this way. Possibly what we can do is still, we don't need to have this accuracy as a pattern, because a lot of things actually cross accuracy performance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do that because we actually provide both.
Mm-hmm.
So you put that which section into which subsection into where, it's questionable. It's like, you know, it's not going to do justice to that particular task. I think what we can do is when we actually talk about this, this is a thing that is good, at least putting all the different tasks together.
Yeah.
We need to maybe have a discussion on which one we want to keep, or which one is the message we want to send, and saying, you know, look, in, you know, this project, if you can just remember a few things, what we did, you know, what we will do, we will do time management. We'll do, you know, if there is virtual machine management, resource management, in order to achieve that, there will be, you know, a fabrication or delegation of, you know, simulation emulation functionality. You know, we could tie them in the picture. On the other hand, the way we talk about them, let's not try to be sort of a fragment them together. We just talk about these specific tasks.
So then the next question is, which ones do we want to retain and which ones do we not retain?
I guess that's the question we have to talk about. Yes. Yeah. For example, time management. That's obviously that, you know, we talk about this thing as virtual time machine, virtual time, how to, you know, deal with the virtual time. And in order to accommodate virtual time, in order to deal with issues to present virtual time across the entire system for all the containers, the virtual machines, and the simulator to perceive the time progression as consistent as it should be, obviously that requires those time dilation techniques, which is not new, which requires a simulation in cooperation with those time dilation techniques, which is not necessarily new or gigantic staff.
So what are the things that we are claiming as novel in the, let's just look at virtual time management and virtual machine management, right? So virtual time management, say, when it will apply time dilation techniques to scale CPU and network performance separately according to the target network infrastructure, right? So separately scale CPU and network performance. That's one thing. Which,
So before I said, are we going to say something about this infrastructure that we are, or maybe this is actually, yeah, I think we should put virtual time management first.
I think one of the problems is that when I'm reading this proposal, if I just look at some key sentences, right, and we have a lot of sentences which say we will extend existing techniques for time dilation. We will extend time dilation technique proposed by Gupta. And so that is unfortunately, I think, weakening our proposal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that, I think, we have to, at that time, we didn't have any choice because really that's the best we could do. But maybe we can do something better than that, than saying, okay, we will improve upon their technique.
This is almost the same as virtualization. So it's virtualization, taking virtualization. I mean, if you think about time dilation, it's just, they look at just one dimension, time, right? Mm-hmm. They change the interrupts, but that's pretty much what it is.
Right.
But we need to sort of look at the entire thing, right? Mm-hmm. We look at how to present a container, sort of concept, so that it's time evolution and in terms of interfacing with the other outside world are all sort of encapsulated inside the container. So everything running in there has no knowledge of everything else, and we present facilities to adjust time according to simulation speed, networking speed, processing speed, and maybe traffic, whatever it is. And all these things actually have to be virtualized on top of it. And the way to do it, of course, is not like we present a completely new virtual machine system, virtual time machine system. We use the techniques, the pieces, all together. And now it's just a matter of what are the pieces that are not being considered and still sort of should be in the soup. So what I would think is one of the things that Ming can actually make a contribution here is okay, so the virtual machines, you don't need to do too much. It's all kinds of virtual machines out there. And the time dilation techniques have already been there. There are at least 2-3 papers on this. And they have done this for real system, distributed systems design also. And I think what we need to do is looking at this as a whole and saying, well, I'm going to present virtual time. On the other hand, I have to look at the resources and what kind of resources that I can really, streamline the resources that support this.
Then it's more about virtual machine management rather than...
Maybe
we just don't put it as virtual time management and virtual machine management,
mm-hmm.
rather than it's virtual time machine management. And it's just how these things, in terms of the overall system, so that's why I'm trying to get a picture. And get a picture so that everything is working all towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is somehow you completely... segregate the application running and the notion of I/O time and all the other sort of OS facilities.
Mm.
Right? So we just in that case that needs to know that what exactly the resources we can give to a particular container so they actually be able to.
Okay, so let's make a list of bullets that we're going to talk about in session 4.
Okay.
So instead of accuracy, performance, and controllability, we're going to replace those with a specific subsection. Right? In each subsection, we address some high-level challenge. Right.
So
with this challenge could be related to accuracy or performance or both,
mm.
or controllability.
Right.
So.
The target infrastructure, we folded that into the big picture. So that means the folding into section 3.1 or whatever it is. I mean, that's just a suggestion. We look at overview of this technique, and we're going to paste that big picture about what the system is all about. Obviously, we need to talk about what this infrastructure is for and how we design, why we design the infrastructure, at least at a very high level.
We need to talk about the overview in section 3. In section
right.
4, we need to talk about challenges
right. yeah.
and propose solutions.
Right, exactly.
Right. So,
that's what I meant here.
Mm-hmm.
This particular section, the target network infrastructure, go to section 3. It needs to go to section 3.
But are there any challenges that we are addressing here? I mean, that we
use network simulator accurately to represent the communication system. Yeah, without that, that's not the A.
But is that a challenge, or, I mean, is that a research?
Well,
question?
This is not the A proposal for a network simulator.
Mm.
So I would not say this is because we are not really proposing anything significant here.
I think the challenge here would be the mapping of the virtual infrastructure to the physical machines. I think that's a challenge in sort of creating or simulating the target network infrastructure.
Isn't that part of the virtual machine management too?
It seems that everything is virtual machine management. So
virtual machine management, yes, it does talk about that. Yeah. So here, what do we have?
This 3 points is some more like a summary. We'll use
Well, that's
actually one of the problems.
We're trying to address,
mm-hmm.
and that's everywhere. That's everywhere. See, I mean, it's in all the.
We have a consistent style, that's for sure. We were careful with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's because of me. I like to have consistent style. I mean, if it's a poor style, it doesn't matter. It has to be consistent. Because that's the thing I hate, inconsistent style.
So,
but I agree, I mean, the stuff that is in here in the 4.1.1 doesn't seem like research. Is this a research question, the multi-scale, multimodal emulation, is that a research problem?
That is a research problem. But
maybe that's the only thing that should stay here. Or if we don't want to talk about that in this proposal, then we shouldn't talk about it. So the question is, what are the research questions that we want to answer for this proposal?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask.
I think one of the reviewers did ask things like, how do you control background traffic versus foreground traffic?
I could expand that.
Mm.
And your question is correct in a way in asking whether this is the problems we want to address.
Mm.
Because I can just pull out a lot of things like this.
Yeah.
And they're all becoming problems. I mean, I wrote that the DOE career and talking about nothing about all these problems,
mm-hmm.
about how to deploy, how to control, how to do online monitoring and simulation,
mm-hmm.
and how to design experiments so that actually can facilitate or smooth the procedure in terms of, you know, from start to finish.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of interactive issues, there are a lot of interoperability issues, and there are a lot of issues regarding this multi-scale, multimodal network.
Okay. So the question is, do we want to retain this bullet or not in this section?
I would say no. I would say this is like the icing on the cake.
So background versus foreground traffic is not so important.
One of the reviewers actually pointed out that's because we put it there.
Yeah. So if we don't put it there, maybe they don't actually ask.
Yeah. If we don't put the things that I guess let's move on and just to see how much contribution we can have.
Okay.
If it's not, certainly I can have a lot.
Okay.
Of, you know,
right. Okay. So I guess the other thing that we take away from here is that at least the first two bullets need to move. some parts of that discussion needs to move into the previous section.
That's true.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
4.1.1. Or at least it's somehow consistent with that overall system design.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so the next one is virtual time management.
So this is where we really need to spend time.
Yeah.
So see, we actually listed all these findings right there. I mean, the language is embedded, for sure. Must address the fundamental challenges, how to provide operating system services and run real application safely in a time dilated system, and where the aggregated resource probably remains substantially different. So all these challenges are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we
what we need to do
short.
is to, you know, highlight these challenges and talk about our proposed solutions to address these.
Exactly,
yeah.
The first challenge is solved by term dilation technique already.
Not completely. The thing is that time dilation is linear. It's in the sense that you dilate time, you have the system performance together and network performance all simultaneously being scaled up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, slow down the time by two, your persistent performance from outside or persistent performance that you do I/O is going to be increasing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so is the CPU. But that does not necessarily mean we solve all the problems. One is they tie together. Network performance and CPU performance are put together.
Mm-hmm.
So scale with the same factor.
Mm-hmm.
So if we talk about this, I guess, at a certain point in time.
Do we actually provide a solution is
no.
the question. Right.
I think maybe we mentioned something or maybe we didn't. So the solution, one of the solutions we talked about, I guess the probably after the submission, we talk about is...
okay, here is something we say. To allow independent CPU and network scaling,
yeah.
We will combine the time dilation technique with virtual machine resource allocation schemes and dynamic scheduling policies. That's what we say.
Yeah, so that's where we are really it's beyond. I didn't come up with a specific plan how to do that. Rather than just saying that we won't have independence.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think the reviewers had a problem with this statement like this. That
right.
We actually say that we're going to do something,
but we have
we don't have details about how we're going to actually do it. So I think the high-level idea was to map this
individual
virtual,
resources. It's
yeah.
Sort of using the time, but the individual resources need to be scaled at a different.
Yeah, so for instance, we had this idea that because we are using virtual machines, we can actually scale the CPU frequency independently of the timer interrupts, right? So let's say I have a 1 gigahertz processor or a 10 gigahertz processor, I can have 10 VMs each appearing to use a 1 gigahertz processor, or I could use 2 VMs each appearing to use 5 gigahertz processor.
Right. Yes.
So if I want to independently scale network and CPU, I can choose either to go with a 1 gigahertz processor or a 5 gigahertz processor. So I think that's really where we were going, but we didn't spell it out beyond this statement.
That's true. Yeah. But how is that actually independent with the network? I would understand what you mean.
And there was this other idea, which is to delay network delivery events. Or
right. Yeah. So that has to be. Yeah. So network, we have to
network sending down. Network sending and receiving events need to be slowed
right.
down.
Yeah.
Appropriately, we cannot speed it up, but we can
slow it down.
But the problem is that we don't have any details. Along each of these.
Exactly, yeah.
And this
exactly.
is what we really need to build upon
yeah.
if we want this proposal to get in. Because
I think all the messages, I think they got across.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to substantiate those things.
I don't think if the reviewers actually understood what we are saying, because based on this high-level statement, even I need to think before I figure out what exactly we were trying to say with this statement.
Right, yeah.
This statement is really very, very abstract. It could mean one of 10 different things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we need to say what exactly we
also,
mean by
also, there is an issue about the CPU scaling. Well, they both have issues.
I don't know. I mean, this is something
scaling.
That I'm going to delegate to Ming at this point. This is still very high-level idea, whatever I said. But to make it real, I don't have the expertise to do that.
It's still not very clear to me. So how are these two related to time dilation? So you're talking about the CPU's frequency and the network.
That's exactly. That reviewer won't be able to understand.
Yeah.
So this is what it is. So you do have, suppose you have a physical machine.
Uh-huh.
The physical machine is 1 gigahertz,
mm-hmm.
right? And it had 100 megabits per second network card. Okay. And you want to represent a physical machine, which is in the future, say it becomes 4 gigahertz, so 4 times the CPU. But your network is going to be 10 times.
Okay.
I want to emulate a 1 gigahertz or 100 gigahertz, bits per second network. And then you can't just uniform it by laser system, because you can only multiply at the unitary factor with what your physical system has. So one way to do this is two techniques that Roger referred to. One is you use sharing. So since if I scale 100 times, that means meaning that I slow down the machine 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
I got 100 times network performance. On the other hand, I got 100 times CPU performance.
Mm-hmm.
So I have surplus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted 4, but I got 100. So that means I can put 25 of these things all together, and so that they represent something, or artificially delay or something. So this is a resource, sort of a resource allocation mechanism. On the other hand, if you have a reverse picture, is you scale up the CPU very much more, and you want to slow down the network, that means you have to put buffering and delay there so that it appears to that container as if you have a particular network speed. And somehow this has to be in place so that these two things are independent of each other.
I see. So if we always use a network as the one that we want to dilate to, okay, want the system to be dilated to, then we only need to consider the CPU, right? You don't have to consider both of them.
Well, maybe certain situations you do need to, well, one or the other.
So
we have two pictures, right? One is over the other,
because I don't see the CPU, it's easier.
Depending on which one is. Well, CPU is probably, from your point of view, easier to control.
Yeah.
From my point of view, network is easier to control.
You know,
delay.
The network is even easier.
Well, the network is, those virtual things need to get to the simulator. The simulator can do whatever it takes to.
So that's one aspect. The other is the aspect of coordination, right? So here we were saying that, okay, we are going to independently scale CPU and network bandwidth, and that's happening independently at each VM, at each node, right? But the problem is that these nodes communicate,
right?
And when they communicate, you need to still maintain time ordering.
Right. That's a second challenge.
Yeah, I see. So the question is, I guess the challenge is how do we, arbitrarily provide scaling, but at the same time allow good resource utilization.
Right.
As if some VMs are waiting for other VMs doing nothing, then you're wasting resources, and you don't want to be in that situation.
So it has to be a time control mechanism, basically, where you allow temporary, scale factors to be different. But eventually the time needs to progress consistently.
Right.
Right. And also this is the important thing is everybody wants to see how the best of performance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have the network to be idle, you don't want to have the CPU to be idle.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to spin as fast as possible, at the same time it's subject to the time consistent criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, the simulators are actually time consistent. Because of simulators running distributed simulation, they have total control of among themselves. The messages sending between are timestamped messages.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, they have everything controlled in terms of consistency, in terms of progression time. So if we actually make the virtual machines to be consistent in time with the simulator, which is co-located in the same they will by themselves kind of consistent.
So all the other virtual machines have to be synced to be simulated.
Right, yeah. So that means things getting out of the virtual machine needs to be, we talked about those timestamps.
Yeah. So that's the
and
third.
Moving
into
the machine needs to off, is that right?
The third bullet, which is
okay.
How do you provide an efficient synchronization strategy?
Right.
So the second bullet is where we say we will study the effect of dynamic time dilation on emulation accuracy so that we can derive an optimal synchronization strategy for adjusting the time dilation factor.
Right. So I think all these three bullets we have here, each one actually can be elaborated much more. Or even maybe you
we need to clarify it at least.
And clarify. I think it's just making all these unsubstantiated claims that, you know, even we have doubts to understand what they mean. I think we just need to put some kind of mechanism. This is our blueprint of what do we think. For example, this time.
Yeah.
You know, things coming out of the virtual machine needs to be timestamped.
Yeah.
And things into the virtual machine is timestamped as well. Because this time is used by the virtual machine to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
They look at this and how, using enough information will adjust and saying, I'm going too fast, I'm going too slow, and if I have, things that I can squeeze more, I can certainly go faster, but it can't. That means that I have to send the feedback will be sent back to the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
The simulator, because the time at that particular virtual machine is slow, the simulator is becoming slow.
Yeah.
The simulator becoming slow, and this is the coordinate. Without it, the simulator is going to, consistently become slower.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow, this is going to have all these time synchronization that has to be taken place.
Yeah.
Right.
So the third bullet is actually the one that maybe has the most discussion with respect to, ideas. But even there, there is some, gaps. It's not completely fleshed out. So we have a discussion where neighbors are exchanging information about their time dilation factors.
Mm-hmm.
And then modify their own time dilation factor accordingly or something like that. We go in some specific direction. Maybe it's not the best direction to go into, but at least we go in some direction in this bullet.
We don't have to be very specific. What I meant is we need to be specific for one solution.
Yeah.
So this is a solution that works.
Right.
That at least we convince ourselves this has to be a working solution.
Hmm.
And then we can say, you know what, we can, instead of exchanging time dilation factors, we probably can just do using time or some kind of timestamps to be able to,
exchanging time dilation factors is a proactive mechanism, right? So you change, you look at what other guy is doing and you change yourself accordingly.
Right.
But then reactive mechanism would be, you look at timestamps that are coming in and then you change your time dilation factor.
Yeah, there could be even easier things. Because the simulator is the central controller.
Control
all these other things.
Yeah.
And then it needs to have all the connections with the simulator anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the simulator is really the central controller in terms of time.
Seems to me the exchanging information among virtual machines is more like a peer-to-peer approach.
Mm-hmm.
But using simulator as the centralized synchronization point, that's more centralized approach.
Right.
That's
actually the solution.
No,
right?
So the thing here is that when we talk about exchanging simulation timestamps, we are always talking about an emulated node communicating with a simulator. Because two emulated nodes do not communicate with each other.
There's only one
simulator per physical.
Per element. Per scale.
So we also need to think about how to span across a single physical node.
And that actually has a lot of resource allocation there.
Yeah.
The simulator is the CPU bound.
Yeah.
And in this kind of system, those containers, maybe CPU bound, maybe communication bound.
Mm-hmm.
I think I shouldn't say that. The simulator is also I/O bound as well.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to communicate with the others.
If there's only one simulator per physical node, then we can definitely give it a dedicated resources without competing with the other virtual machines.
I mean,
that makes sense. it's very important, right? This is the guy that maintains the timeline.
That is part of the hypervisor function is to provide, right? It's basically, and say the system we're going on to, if we actually gonna have the system to influence the allocate the resource management, the virtual time, virtual machine management, right? You schedule virtual machines. That means it's a part of the hypervisor function, right?
So what I see is the other virtual machines, they synchronize to the simulator virtual machine, and the simulator uses the other virtual machines time. To control the resource management, right?
Right.
To control the resource through the hypervisor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the right approach. I think that maybe controlling, you're thinking about the simulators, the distributed simulator as a central coordination mechanism seems to be the easy approach. So one thing which I was wondering is that all of these emulated nodes have a time dilation factor, right? And then the simulator also has a simulated time, right? And the time progression of the simulator and the time progression of these emulated nodes have to be synchronized because the simulator is communicating.
Yeah.
So it seems intuitively that the time dilation factors of the VMs need to be pretty much the same. Otherwise, the slowest guy is going to slow everyone else down, right? Eventually, or at least a portion, a subset of the network, which is not communicating
not
with the rest of the
factor.
The time dilation factor, yeah.
No, it's the
how fast or how slow time is progressing on a specific VM is determined by its time dilation factor, right?
Right.
So
it's the time, it's the virtual time is to be
how fast the virtual time is
and then it's the time dilation factor, right, yeah.
Right, so
but that has nothing to do with the network speed,
right?
And the CPU
each virtual machine may simulate a different resource configuration.
Yeah, it could have a different I'm 2.4 hertz,
right.
4.8 hertz.
But I'm talking about the progression of virtual time. There is a global virtual time which needs to be consistent,
right?
Especially when nodes are communicating.
Right.
So if I have a subnet which is completely independent of some, the rest of the network, it can move much faster if it wants to because it's not communicating with any of the other guys.
That's the key point. I'm sorry to interrupt. So what happens is we have the same time dilation factor. That means the virtual time should progress more or less the same. However, if you are 2 gigahertz, you are 4 gigahertz, that means I need to allocate twice the amount of CPU.
Mm.
Even though your time dilation factor is the same, I need to allocate twice the amount of CPU cycles to this virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one.
Yeah, so I guess what I meant to say is how fast virtual time is progressing. So the speed of progression of virtual time needs to be the same everywhere.
True.
So the question then, what maybe we should be looking at this problem rather than sort of exchanging time dilation factors and doing things like that. If we look at it from a simulator, the centralized standpoint, and see how fast virtual time progressing on this node versus this other node, we know which node is a bottleneck, right? And then at that point, convert that bottleneck into a resource reallocation and say, can I make this guy's virtual time move faster? So it's no longer the bottleneck and sort of work on a more, self-balancing system.
That's one way. So that's one way to look at it. On the other hand, the resource allocation has to be tied with the particular machine specification, right?
Right. So if I change the resource allocation, I will also accordingly change the time dilation factor.
Is that true?
Or
not quite sure yet. Just follow the example I just gave, like 4 gigahertz.
I think time dilation factor is a fixed thing, right?
Let's suppose right now time dilation factor is fixed.
Virtual machine.
Later maybe there's some room to deal with the variations, the data. suppose they are exactly the same. Now, if I'm trying to support a virtual machine with 4 gigahertz rather than 2 gigahertz, so twice the amount of resources that it needs to be allocated, I use the same time dilation factor, right? And if I use the same time dilation factor, somehow I did.
So time
dilation have to, yeah.
Time dilation factor is going to either slow down the virtual CPU, or you know, it basically just slows it down. It cannot speed it up, right? So if I'm running on a 4 gigahertz and my time dilation is 2, then I'm virtually running on a 2 gig or on a 8 gigahertz processor, right, or something like that.
Yeah. So what's the virtual time? Virtual time is just the perception of the interrupts, right? The time interrupts, right?
No, virtual time is a some progression of time that the machine experiences. Yes, it is controlled to how frequently the timer interrupts are occurring.
Right. Yeah. So and there is a sort of a virtual clock of something that you can refer to, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, and so obviously we got to make all these machines to have all these interrupts to happen at regular intervals at the same speed. So that's how they will be able to perceive time. On the other hand, this has nothing to do with how many CPU cycles you're gonna get, right, between the interrupts.
Yeah.
So that's where you actually can differentiate different machines.
Correct. Different virtual processors.
Yeah, virtual processors, right? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So I mean, so the time dilation factor is going to determine how frequently the timer interrupts occur, right?
Okay.
Is that correct or no?
Time dilation factor is, yeah, that's what it is.
That basically determines how frequently the timer interrupts occur.
If you want a time dilation factor of 10, you slow that down.
Dilation factor, in a sense, controls the progression, the speed of progression of the virtual time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what we then, I guess that goes back to the statement that I made earlier, is that the time dilation factor across all the machines need to be more or less the same. Because the virtual time...
I don't understand. So...
Yeah, I mean, you need it to be the same to avoid bottlenecks.
You only need that to be tied to the simulator. The simulator is loosely synchronized with one another. So let me put it this way. You have two machines,
mm-hmm.
and there is some kind of overhead or latency associated with it. So I could allow you to be X amount of time ahead of me. I don't necessarily have to, because rigid adjustment sort of locks that progression. In a distributed system, that's a disaster. You don't want that. You want to have some kind of a slack so that the machines could, because they do more work, actually slow down a little bit than the other machine, but according to some synchronization mechanism, you basically keep pace with one another, but you don't have to be lockstep.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, as a matter of fact, we just need to say the time dilation factor needs to be tied down to the real time, the simulation time progression for the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a easy issue to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
The difficult issue is this representing a 4 gigahertz machine versus a 2 gigahertz machine, and a 4 gigahertz machine with 100 megabits per second card versus a 2 gigahertz machine with a 10 gigabit per second.
Ultimately, who decides the time dilation factor? Who decides that? How is it determined?
Well, it depends on your setup of the virtual
network.
The virtual network has network specification, not only just the links, but also the node types.
The frequency of the nodes and things like that.
The virtual network on the simulator or the virtual machine?
The whole system.
Uh-huh.
The whole system, in order to represent one thing, we're trying to mimic a future network with 10 gigabits and with some nodes with this and that.
So
and then we deploy.
So everything on the same physical nodes, they have the same version I know that we want to emulate, simulate.
If
the physical machine only has 1 gigabit per second,
exactly,
and we want to simulate the 10, then we
have to source of the
machine.
I
see.
Right.
No, I understand.
And that's going to be... I have a meeting right away.
I need to go too.
Yeah.
So we're going to Sajib's presentation.
At 3, right?
Yeah.
Now it starts now?
Yeah, it starts now. Yeah.
I thought it started at 3.
Oh, it starts at 3. Yeah, yeah. Sorry,
pushes.
Sorry. Yeah. Now it's only
but
2. Okay, okay.
But I have a meeting right away with my students.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah.
I think one thing we still haven't done finished is identify the research, at least three research challenges that we want to.
I think one research challenge is exactly what we are talking about here.
But this seems to be a lot of things.
There are a lot of things.
Very
complicated
problem.
I think if you, that's why I think you're putting resource management in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You expand the entire horizon of what we are trying to get at the time dilation factor. As a matter of fact, it's an easy thing to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's because all the things that, we have a controller, everybody has to apply the same time dilation factor as
mm-hmm.
long as it can be sort of specified by the model.
Right. So the first thing is the independent scaling of network and CPU.
That's,
I think that's one
that's
challenge
one
we
one
can,
challenge.
You know, we, maybe there's not a whole lot of things to address there, but that's, I think, seems to be
a
good
stress there, right?
Seems
yeah.
to be
yeah.
a challenge. The
yeah.
second is the coordination of the virtual time across the different machines,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be another challenge.
I can address in the sense of the using simulator and control the
right, but that
generation.
and then the third challenge is to
resource management
for avoiding performance bottlenecks,
right?
So if we see that
I think exactly
virtual
exactly.
time is progressing so here I'm talking about a single simulator, right?
Right.
Instance.
Right.
And there's a single, just one part of the simulator connected to several emulated nodes. So these emulated nodes could be either co-located on the same physical host or they could be located on other physical hosts, right? So I think just figuring out how to coordinate what we're doing to avoid bottlenecks, I think that seems like another challenge.
If we don't have anything else in the following two games, maybe we need to split this one. This is
in the following way.
I think the interesting part is also function delegation, emulation function delegation, which
that is
something that
needed, but that can be sort of folded into the case study. You can't talk about abstract as function delegation unless you talk about specific applications.
Okay, so how do you want to do this? How do you want to distribute the work?
I think if we can section 3 is needs the infrastructure. So if we could come up with a big picture, I mean if you can be the lead of that.
Yeah,
we could have the system. We have other good pictures to provide you.
Yeah.
And we kind of picture move some of the first one part of the section 4 into folding that. And section 4, we're going to have these challenges. So if we can just make some bullet points.
Yeah.
And so that.
And make a list of challenges.
Make a list of challenges. And then we see which one we can address right away, which one.
Okay, so what I can do is I can come up with a list of potential challenges, and maybe we can meet on Monday. And
okay. And right, yeah, over the weekend, though, I can work on maybe the tangential part on the first two.
Yeah. But I mean, so I'll just focus on coming up with the challenges, but then we'll have to discuss how to propose solutions.
Yeah.